You're listening to Classical Music with George Walker, and this morning we have a special guest with us, a Belgian flutist and recorder player, Bartel Kuijken. He's a teacher of Baroque flute and recorder, and recently he received the Lifetime Achievement Award at the National Flute Association's annual convention, and he also has a book coming out from the IU Press and the IU Early Music Institute on The Notation Is Not the Music. Thanks so much for coming by. We're delighted to have a chance to talk with you.
Thank you.
Now, one of the things that announcers always enjoy about your family is that there are three of you. There's you, who play the recorder, and then in addition, we have your brothers, the cellist and viol player, Wieland, and the violinist Sigisvald. I wonder what it was like growing up in a family where all three of you eventually became musicians who focused on early music.
Well, that's only half of the brothers. We are six brothers. So basically, you have half is musician, and the other half, I always say, is normal. So it felt like growing up in a big family. I'm the youngest of the lot. And as a kid, I always heard music, but there were also many other things going on in the house. So it was pretty busy life. Very nice.
Now, one of the things that that happened with the three brothers who play music is that you really migrated toward early music. Why was it that that happened?
I think it was a moment in history where the dissatisfaction with conservatory and a certain conservatism in conservatory, then maybe the name is not stolen, that dissatisfaction was growing, and we all felt that the repertory which was studied at conservatory was so much limited. You had Bach, you had Mozart, in between hardly anything, and before Bach nothing. Handel sometimes, but that's for beginners or for singers. And then music started with Mozart. But it didn't go later than, let's say, Prokofiev. Stravinsky was considered, crazy guy. Yeah. So that limitation to really mainstream got on people's nerves, I think. And you felt that quite a number of musicians were busy left and right of the mainstream, even at the same time. So we did lots of contemporary music, creations of just newly baked pieces, as well as digging in libraries and finding early instruments and exploring how that could have been and what repertoire there was that was never played. So I think it was maybe the time, well, in France you had the whole 68 movement, which was prepared already by maybe questioning authority, that one didn't believe automatically that your teacher is right, let's say. So the end is that you become your own teacher, and the further end, which is a strange turn of history, that you become a teacher yourself. So you are in the same bed again. But what happened, and for me that's a good thing, is that questions were asked. Instead of just swallowing the answers teachers would give without further, let's say, individual or personal thinking, we started asking questions. Or you read something and you, in an old treatise, and you think or hear how it's played today, or then in the 60s, said, well, strange, this doesn't match. How would it be if you let those two things match? And so you see more and more contradictions, and you become puzzled and curious. And you could ask your teacher, but probably there is no answer that is satisfying you. So what's the result? You start looking into it just by yourself.
Puzzled and curious. We're talking with Wieland Kuijken.
Bartold Kuijken. You said Wieland Kuijken.
I'm sorry, Bartold.
That's my brother.
I should have known there wasn't a cello sitting here in the studio, but a flute. You're also the artistic director for the Indianapolis Baroque Orchestra, and you're telling us a little bit about that. I'm looking at the instrument that you have, and usually when I see a flute, I'm looking at something that's silvery and has really a fair amount of ironmongery about it. It's got keys, it's got various things working. Why do you choose to use this particular instrument?
It is a very simple choice. If we think of, for instance, Johann Sebastian Bach, and we would try to find out what did he hear in his inner ear when the word flute was mentioned. Of course, he could not hear a flute that did not exist. So he could only hear, imagine, the sound that he knew. Now, we are lucky enough that we have enough old instruments of Bach's time and before and after lying around in museums, in private collections. And when you start studying them, you see that they are really different from today's silver or gold or whatever flutes. Logical consequence is that you pick up one of those early instruments. You try to find out how it needs to be played. And again, we are lucky, because there are many historical treatises about how to play the flute. So instead of going to a teacher who doesn't know either, you try, you read those books, you try to do what they say, you read more books and you have more questions, often not more answers, but more questions, that's fine. And in the end, you cook your soup out of all that information. And I'm not going to say that I play exactly as a flutist in Bach's time would have played. I try to do something which he might have found acceptable. That's as far as I would go. I am not claiming that this is how Bach needs to be played. Absolutely not. But I hope he would not have minded.
I'd very much like to hear you play some this morning, and I wonder what you'd like to play for us.
I could play a Telemann Fantasy. Pieces for flute solo are rare, because a flute is a melodic instrument, and such as in 19th century, a lead would have a piano accompaniment. It wouldn't even be mentioned on a title page. It's evident. So most pieces for flute would have a bass accompaniment. Telemann wrote some fantasias for solo flute, so I'm going to play one of these.
Telemann, one of the canniest businessmen of music, I've always thought. If there was an instrument or a combination, Telemann would write for it.
He would write for it, and he would be very good at finding out what is the typical character, what are the typical possibilities of all the instruments, and he would have pleasure in making it work. He's a good guy.
Would you please play something from Telemann for
okay.
us this morning?
I play the D major fantasy.
We'll have a chance to hear Bartold Kauchen playing this morning music by Telemann, music actually written for solo flute, music on an instrument, a recreation of an instrument from Telemann's own time.
Yes, it is a recreation. It's a copy of an instrument that was built in Brussels around 1730-35, we guess. So. Thank you.
Flute solo music by Telemann. Telemann, of course, a contemporary of Johann Sebastian Bach, who you hoped would respect your efforts with the flute from that period.
Yes, I hope he would say, okay, I hadn't ever thought of this, but this is not impossible.
We're talking with Bartel Kalkin, who, among other things, is the artistic director of the Indianapolis Baroque Orchestra. Have you some upcoming performances in the area?
We'll play here in Bloomington next Saturday, mm-hmm. and then in Indianapolis on Sunday and Monday.
Uh-huh. What will be on your program?
Program will be Vivaldi's Concerto for four violins and orchestra. Then a kind of concerto grosso by composer who is not very well known, Evaristo Felice Dall'Abaco. It's a nice name.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice piece, two flutes and strings orchestra. And then Corelli's Christmas Concerto, Concerto Grosso. And then after intermission, I will play one of Vivaldi's flute concertos, the Cardellino. And we end with the Bach Double Violin Concerto.
Quite an evening.
It's a nice program. I'm very happy with the program. So we start rehearsing tomorrow, and then we have 3 days of pretty intense rehearsing, and then 3 days of concerts.
3 days of intense rehearsing, 3 days of concerts. Our guest has been Bartel Kalkin. We're delighted to have a chance to talk with him, and we hope to be able to share some of his music on our website as well in the near future. I'm George Walker for WFIU Arts.